Good afternoon. I'm here. I'm David Creel, world's best double eagle coach, and I'm here with my friend and fellow coach who, let's just call it what it is. The intelligence level in this room is way higher than it was before she joined the call. We have Dr. Kim Welsh joining me today. How are you today?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for inviting me to be on your podcast.
Awesome. Glad to have you. So, what would make this an extraordinary conversation today?
Being coached by you and having it modeled and just being able to talk through how to expand my business.
Okay. So where are you at in your business now?
Well, with coaching, I'm not new to coaching per se as the asking questions and uncovering kind of the root cause of whatever the need may be. I've done it with instruction for teachers and campuses for 20 plus years. I've always done it on the side. I've had, you know, a private consulting and coaching business and have always had a heart for the educators. And since I retired, I'm looking for something with a little more structure and being able to broaden and expand the practice to reach a greater amount of people. And so through the Ziegler coaching program, I have changed a little bit of my target audience and I'm just slowly starting to expand and to reach out.
Okay. And who is your target audience?
My target audience right now are leaders, anyone in a leadership position, put it that way, mostly targeted for educators. So it'll be your principals, your central office personnel and superintendents, and then any leaders outside of education, but the target audience will be within education.
Okay. And what's the problem you solve for them?
Leaders, well, let me back up. When I was in education, I was in it for 30 years. And for the first approximately third, I was a classroom teacher at the elementary, middle school, high school, special ed, regular ed, and loved it. Had like truly, truly loved it at all grade levels. And when you're a classroom teacher, there's this huge feeling of camaraderie with your other educators. And this was with moving for six districts. My husband was a girls basketball coach. So we moved around a lot in Texas. And so it didn't matter what district I was in. It didn't matter the demographics of the district. I had really good experiences. Teachers got together often. There were many things to support teachers. We would go out often just with teachers or with our families and with our kids. And then when I started to move up into leadership positions, which was my last 4 years in the public schools, there's this sense of isolation suddenly. Nobody really asked how you're doing because you are planning all of the fun Fridays and the spirit weeks and the what can we do extra for teachers. And then it just, with each level that I moved up, I was a principal, then a central office administrator, then a director of special ed. And it became more and more isolating with the expectation that you take care of everybody else. And so from there, I went into higher ed and I was a professor for the last 16 years. And it's a completely different world. And obviously, you know, you have the knowledge going in and you continue to gain your content knowledge. But again, there's no personal care. And I don't know that, you know, that's a responsibility per se of a university, but I did realize when I retired that it's like I had taken care of everybody else and I had invested in everybody else except for me. And so it's like I retired and I had all these skills and I had all of this knowledge, but I didn't have me. And so I really think that there is this void in leadership where even during COVID, we kept hearing about the social emotional learning of children and taking care of the social emotional learning of teachers because there was this huge burnout, which there is. But nobody talked about what about the leaders? What about the administrators who show up every day and just like the teachers, but they're also sacrificing family life and children and relationships and themselves to take care of everybody else. So I believe that through coaching and creating this network of support, and having a gift of time for individuals or in groups to be able to talk through what might be on their heart at any given time, and for somebody to really listen and to ask probing questions and to be able to possibly lead them in a different way and have them think about possible solutions they might not have thought of before, to, you know, through the questioning, and then being able to set up this system of structured support for them to be able to take action steps and be their accountability buddy and to help them get there. I think there's a huge need for that, because once they are able to set that up for themselves, then I believe that they will be even stronger and better to lead others.
Okay, so what I heard you say, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but what I heard you say is you spent almost all your time building others up and neglected the time for yourself.
Exactly, yes.
And I also heard it's kind of lonely at the top because there's nobody to really, you know, you can't go ask a, you know, if you're a college professor, you can't go ask a kindergartner teacher, you know, because they're different. I mean, one's in college and one's a kindergarten teacher. So you want to come alongside the leaders in education where they have a listening voice, like an outside opinion who's not involved in the university or the college or school or whatever. That's what I heard. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes. I think, having somebody to come alongside you that does not have a preconceived agenda and does not have a preconceived outcome of, I'm not evaluating them, I'm not supervising them, I don't have certain outcomes that I'm expecting for them, I think that's very powerful. And I have realized as I get older that there's very few people in the world who truly give you the gift of their ear, of being able to sit and listen and let you wrestle through the thoughts in your head until you can reach a solution. We normally know what is needed. We just need somebody to kind of hold the other end of the yarn and let us just keep untangling it. And too oftentimes when we start to express, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do about whatever it is, the other person, well-intended, jumps in and wants to give us a solution. And sometimes we're just not looking for solutions. Sometimes we just need to talk it out and to hear ourselves think and realize either the absurdity of what we're saying or all of a sudden be able to free our minds enough to allow new thoughts to enter.
So how do you want to go about doing that?
Well, right now, the way I'm doing it, and this is where I'm struggling, I think, is I started kind of the social media stuff, and I've not been one on social media. I've just kind of been, I have the accounts and I follow more for news. I've always been very much on gaining content. And I am trying to, I think the way that I'm going to go about it is to reach out where obviously our administrators gather, which is we have in Texas, as you may or may not know, we have what's called education service centers around the state. And they are kind of the different arms of the Texas Education Agency, which sits in Austin. And they are the ones who govern all of the public and charter schools in the state of Texas. And so these entities, there's 20 of them around the state, provide support for administrators to be able to provide, well, for districts to be able to provide support for their employees. And so I'm going to reach out to those to see about doing some leadership workshops, some leadership training, and then through the relationships that I'm able to build in the workshops and in the training, work on that aspect of letting them know that I can help walk alongside them, as you say, to meet their personal and professional needs.
Okay. So when you think about what you just said, doing that, what do you feel?
I feel hope, because I think how powerful that would have been had I had somebody. I had really good mentors, really, really good mentors all along my entire professional path. But I think in the last, especially 15 years in higher ed, I had mentors that I could emulate and that opened doors for me and that showed me how to do things. But I lacked, other than very few colleagues that I can count on one hand, those who I could pick up the phone and say, I need an hour of your time to talk through it. So I can't imagine that I'm alone in thinking that. I would think that other leaders are just going from task to task to task, trying to grasp what's out there for the very next event or the next marking, you know, the next grading cycle, or, you know, what they're just making it, as opposed to being able to take a really deep breath and say, okay, but what does all of this mean? Why am I doing all of this? Am I doing things that when I retire one day, I retire with more than just the knowledge that I have also grown as a person in all areas of my life? Because we know when all of us are well fed and our buckets are full in all areas of our life, we are so much more apt to be able to pour into others. And I think that a lot of people, when they're tired or they're bankrupt or they're struggling with something, I think it manifests itself in how they choose to interact with other people. And people just write it off as a personality defect, or that's just how they are. And they don't take the time to find out where the person is hurting and what they need. And I think sometimes when we're fulfilled, we can fulfill others. And I think we all can tell people who are fulfilled. You can see it in their face. You can see it in their actions. You can see it in their outcomes. You can see it in how they treat others. And that's a gift, not only to that person, but it's a gift to everybody that they come in contact with.
What fills your bucket up?
People like you that reach out without needing to or having to, and just saying, hey, have you thought of this? Or, hey, I've got this great resource for you. And because I've always been the resource for everybody. So it's so refreshing and so wonderful to have somebody else saying, hey, have you thought of this? You know, why don't you go this way? And just sharing and bouncing off ideas and allowing space to contemplate. And I think it's very appreciative. I'm very appreciative of you doing this today. And it fills my bucket to see other people who are willing and to reach out to others And I think most leaders have a passion for that, and they serve with a servant's heart and they serve for the right reasons. I absolutely believe that, or they wouldn't be in this profession, because it's not for the financial gain. But it's really hard to continue serving over to play the long game when you're slowly having a hole in your bucket and you're draining all along the way. And so it fills my bucket to know the impact that just a little bit can do for somebody.
Okay. You're welcome. I received that. Is anything draining your bucket?
Well, right now it's just a pretty steep learning curve with, I probably suffer from not being able to turn my brain off. It's just constantly, I am a very idea oriented. I can think of 1,000 different ideas. And so I tend to want to research everything before I put it in place. And I think that's where you were very good for me about just do it. Like, quit worrying about whether it's great or who's going to read it or what it's going to look like, you know, just do it. And so that tends to drain me, because it's not wasted time, but it's probably too much time in one area. And so I need to act faster, as opposed to thinking too much and trying to make it perfect and making it rational. You know, I'm coming from 15 years of having to cite everything, and everything had to be research oriented, and it had to go back to a first source, and you didn't just say things without it being grounded in a, you know, peer reviewed article. So I'm learning and I'm getting better at it, of just being much more free with it.
Okay. So let's imagine it's April 12th, 2023. What do you want your business to look like?
Oh, wow. I want to have a full coaching calendar.
What does that look like?
I would like to have several people on one-to-one coaching. I would like to have several group coaching masterminds going on.
How many is several? I mean, several could be anywhere from 3 to 100, could be several if you're talking a million.
Now, I was a reading professor, not a math professor, so all these numbers start to just jumble. I think I would like to have between 7 and 10 individual and 4 to 5 groups going.
Okay.
I don't know if that's realistic or whether you're laughing inside, but
well, we don't know. We're just making this up.
We don't know. And I'm used to, I mean, I can get things done. I'm highly organized. So I'm thinking I can do this. But that just means a greater impact, which is what I want. And I would love to have that. And then I would love to have, just aside from that, I would love to have like meetups around Texas to be able to just create a network of leaders in education that they have a place to go to for support. And that I'm also being able to feed them not only with their personal and professional needs, but, you know, I can feed them instructionally. I mean, I have that background of being able, you know, to help with education related with student achievement, but just to have build a slow network where they all get to meet each other. That would be my big dream, of creating this huge network of school leaders. And you've made me think about a podcast, and I would love to start a podcast and interview superintendents from around the nation, reach out to them and say, you know, I'm just doing a little Q&A. Would you like to be featured on the podcast? And start with that. I think that would be those are just all the things that I'm thinking of right now.
Okay. Which do you think would have the most impact the quickest?
Coaching, by far.
Okay. So
yes.
Do your peers you still, I'm assuming, still know some people in the higher education field. Do they know you're a coach?
Well, higher ed really wouldn't be my go-to, I don't think, because they're all professors. I would look more at the school entity. When you say which would have the quickest impact, I'm thinking of impact with coaching, like impact with changing lives. But the greatest impact with getting clients into my coaching business, I think, would probably be the podcast, because I have to reach out and they would hear me and they would get to see me and they would hear my questioning style. And that would lend some credibility and some trust for them to be able to want to allow me to walk alongside them for a coaching. So that would have the greatest impact as far as gaining people, I think, is having the podcast. But then the greatest impact on changing lives would be the coaching, if I understood that correctly.
If you had to pick one that you were going to run with for 6 months, which would you pick?
Coaching.
Why?
I think because it brings personal impact quickest. I can impact individual lives more that way. So if I had to run with something for 6 months, I would start with reaching out of doing leadership presentations to districts when they have their administrators together for administrator meetings, and then have a call to action after that, at the end of my presentation. That would be how I would gain them seeing me and knowing me. And I have some really good contacts around the state of Texas. And I'm very used to doing workshops and presentations on leadership and literacy. That's what I've always done. So that wouldn't be a stretch. It's just the stretch would be continuing it into the coaching. I'm used to having the teachers continue into the coaching, but bringing the administrators into the coaching.
What's the smallest possible step you can do to make that happen?
Reach out to districts that I know right now and offer a complimentary 1 hour leadership seminar or training with their administrators.
Okay. That sounds good to me. Cause you already have, they already know you, they already like you, and they already trust you because you worked together in some way, shape, or form in the past. You're not calling people in, Minnesota, you're going to start with Texas, I assume.
Yes. I'm not cold calling. So.
Right. So, what would you tell them? Like you call, Jill Smith or whoever that's your superintendent person, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that after 20 years of instructional coaching, that I have decided to expand my practice to administrators, and that I have gone through the Ziegler licensing coaching program. And would like to share some leadership tips with their team with the gift of time, individual time to work on action steps toward their goals.
Okay. What's the biggest problem they're facing that you could address?
Like that I would anticipate ahead of time?
Yeah. Okay. You don't know. You haven't asked. So what, no. What do you think the number one problem is that you could solve?
Probably, I'm thinking organization. I think a lot like scheduling, organization, management, all kind of going in of that's what I see a lot on campuses and in school districts is a lack of systems. And because of that, they kind of blow like the wind. Because some things you're in charge of and some things you're not. You know, when central office calls or, you know, you have to go do, or there's a child having a meltdown somewhere and you have to go react. But being able to have grace for themselves to schedule in time for their own personal development. I would bet that less than 2% of leaders in schools truly think of having their very own personal development. I think they go to conferences. I think they go to the service center workshops. I think they go to administrator meetups. But as far as something that specifically addresses what their need is at that very moment, I think it's very rare for an administrator to take that time for themselves. So I think that would be the first thing that I would address is the need for them to schedule in and to have that time for themselves.
Okay. Okay, so sometimes questions are uncomfortable. So I'm feeling inside me like I probably shouldn't ask that, but whenever I feel that, that's exactly what I'm going to ask.
It means you should ask it. Exactly.
So you mentioned something in your last response. So I'll put it to you. When are you going to allow yourself some grace?
With taking time for myself?
Yeah, you said that you they're really good at giving grace to others, but when are you going to give yourself grace? I mean, you've been a professional coach for about 3 minutes. So it's not like you're 20 years in the game, you know? So when are you going to allow yourself some grace?
Well, I think I'm slowly learning that. The first thing I did was going through the Ziegler program for sure. But I think I'm slowly realizing it's okay if it's bumpy and it's messy. And I have an email group of former students that ever since I started in higher ed, so they're teachers. I taught graduate programs. So these were teachers coming back to get their master's. And I just had always done a weekly email to them just about anything going on, you know, in the state or workshops or anything related with literacy or instruction. And so I kept that when I retired from Stephen F. Austin, I brought the email list with me and I continue doing it every Wednesday. I call it Wednesdays with Welsh and it's just slowly grown. A lot of them will email me and say, can you add my principal? Can you add whatever? And so every Wednesday they get something from me. And sometimes I add a recipe or something for them to try, but it's usually all about instruction, something to help them grow as instructional leaders. And this past Wednesday, and my husband's on the list too. He was a former administrator. And so, but I have him on the list. And so this last Wednesday, it was probably the first time that I was truly just completely vulnerable. And I talked about the transformation of, I said, this one's going to be a little different. I said, I'm going to share my transformation over, you know, kind of my career. And so I talked about, you know, being a teacher and then being an administrator, and they knew that, you know, then higher ed, and then I retired. And then I talked about that I just kind of have this void and I didn't know what to do with the void. I still wanted to serve people and I still had a heart for education, but I didn't have these systems in place to do it. That my coaching on campuses had always been, I was hired up front and I would go in and I would coach teachers. So I talked about going through the Ziegler coaching program, and I shared that I was new to social media and that I would appreciate any advice or any likes. I said, you know, they can reach out and be my friend on social media. Cause I'd always kind of, that's the reason I didn't do social media, is I had taught online for 12 years. And so it was like, I was online so much, I didn't want to have to be online so much more with social media. And it, as soon as I pressed send, of course, my husband called, he's like, oh my gosh, you know, you are so vulnerable in this. And that, and I did it late at night. It was like at 10:30 before I pushed it out. And that email, by midnight, I had 20 responses, just bam, of so many of my former students saying, you know, I love this, Dr. Welsh. This is so good. I could feel you in this. You know, you're so vulnerable. So that told me that I had probably been pretty, I mean, I've always been kind and I've always been nice. I always get that on my evaluations that I'm very kind, but I don't share a lot of me. It's always, I've shared knowledge. So I am slowly learning. That's the grace that I'm giving myself, that it's okay. It's okay to be messy and to be not, I mean, I don't want to say not perfect. I'm not a perfectionist, but I don't have to know it all. Just because I was an expert in one area in a content of education doesn't mean I have to be an expert in anything else. I can be brand new to all of this, and that's okay. And so I'm slowly learning that.
Okay, good. So a couple of things. One, how does it feel to not have that pressure on you that you put on yourself related to not knowing everything about everything?
Oh, that's great. That's
okay. I mean, realistically, you're a doctor of what? What's education. Your doctorate in? Okay, education. So of all there is to be known possible about whatever your education is, I mean, if you had to have it all figured out, no one would ever be a teacher.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I mean, you know way more about education. You've probably forgot more about education than I'll ever know in my whole life. But of all there is to be known about education, I mean, you probably know about that much of everything that can be known about any subject and, you know,
absolutely. And I preach that all the time when I go on campuses. I tell them, I'm like, you don't have to know, like principals, I say, you don't have to know what instruction looks like in all the content areas. Like there's no way anybody could know that. But I would say, but you need to know who is the expert in all the content areas. Who do you call? Who's in your back pocket? Like, I don't know anything about math, but I know who my math people are. And I can call them and say, hey, give me a heads up on this. So that's when I just need to listen to what my own preaching has been over the past many years.
So I have a suggestion. Do the people that you, who's without naming their names, you have a, in your head right now, you have 3 to 5 people of someone you could call and kind of not pitch this to, but tell them about. Yes. Okay. Do they know you well enough to know whatever your middle name is?
No.
Okay. So you don't have to tell your middle name. It's no big deal, but let's say it's your middle name. Okay. Ann. Okay. What if you did the exact same thing you did when you were vulnerable? Because that's kind of when you were vulnerable, you got that such a response. My guess would be because you kind of let your guard down. And if you let your guard down, you can let other people in. But if you're always like this and you got your shields up, people can't relate to you because you're like, oh, this chick has no problems. She's got it all figured out. But then it proved that you are human and you put your pants on like everybody else, you know. But what about if you called Superintendent One or Principal One and you said, do you have 10 minutes? I have a quick story. But you start the story with, let me tell you about my friend, Ann. And you say basically what you just told me about Ann was struggling with this and this and this and this and this and this and this. And Ann found out that this and this and this helps. And they say, oh, that's amazing. And then you say, I'm Kimberly Ann. That's me. And I can help with what they're going to, because they struggle probably with the same thing that I struggled with. Mm-hmm. And tell your story, because there's not another one like you on the planet. You're literally one of one since forever and going forward, you know, in the history of recorded time and not recorded time till the next 7 million years, there's never going to be another Kimberly Ann. But your vulnerability is, I mean, you said you went to bed and you had 20 responses. So I would turn that into a story, and that's what I'd tell the people if it was me. Now you can do what you want, but
no, I agree.
It makes it to where it's, because maybe they don't realize it's the biggest problem as they think it is, or they don't know about. And you have to kind of create a problem by telling a story, because everybody remembers stories. That's how we learn, is from stories. And, you know, the greatest storyteller of all time, you know, just look at your Bible and look at the red letters. Okay. A parable, that it's a story. So, and there's something to be said about, it doesn't have to be perfect to get started. It can be good enough to get started. Just good enough. And then you can tweak and you can modify and adapt and change. But I think that would be, if you kind of made that blog post or a newsletter or whatever, however it went out, if you made that into a little bit of a story, maybe a 5-minute story, because then they're like, oh, well, I know you need to talk to this person because they just came into my office last week and told me exactly what you just told me. Mm-hmm. So that would be my suggestion. Now, you do what you want, but people remember stories.
I agree. I definitely agree. I think I'm trying to think, you know, if somebody had told me 10 years ago, hey, have you ever thought about having, you know, a coach, or have you ever thought about, I would have said, oh no, I'm investing in myself. And it really wasn't until all of a sudden I started getting closer to retirement and I realized, wow, like I've really neglected my own personal, when I say neglected, like, you know, I have a good home life. I go to church. I, you know, have good relationships with my friends and my family. It's just the pouring of into me for me to think through things. That's what I mean. And so I don't know that I would have been open to it, but I think there are a lot of people that when they slow down and they think about it, they definitely could relate.
Okay. So for the people on YouTube, you'll be able to see what I'm going to show Dr. Kimberly, but for the people on podcast, you'll just have to,
go to YouTube.
Go to YouTube, or I'll ask you this. Behind there you go. Who do I need to be? So let me ask you, who do you need to be to get this ball rolling? Who do you need to be?
I need to be someone who is action focused and fearless and vulnerable and I just think open. And like I said, I think I'm open in all areas of my life, but just, I mean, for people who know me, they know I'm pretty open. What you see is what you get, whether you see me here or in Walmart or wherever. But this is a new arena of this to step into. So I just need to take the first step and just keep right on going.
Action, taking action, vulnerable, open. And I'm not writing anything down. Those are the three I remember. And I know you said two more. So what are you willing to commit to? What would you like to commit to getting this ball rolling? Something small.
I would like to have a leadership training on the calendar. Let me think of a timeline, like within a district, to speak to the administrators within 3 weeks.
Okay. What's a smaller step that you can take to make that happen?
Within what is today? Today's we have, we're off Thursday, Friday. Most districts are for Easter. So within a week, I'd like to reach out and make contact with a superintendent or principal and to speak to them on the phone about setting a date on a calendar for training.
Okay. So your number one candidate, we don't need names, but your number one candidate, you have your number one person you're going to call?
Yes.
So when are you committing to calling them?
You want me to back up further, aren't you here?
Yeah, I'm trying to get you the smallest possible step you can take.
I'm just trying to think of, I mean, I just know school schedules and I'm like, okay, if I call tomorrow, it's going to get lost because they'll be off Thursday, Friday, possibly Monday. And I won't have much of an impact, but.
So a week from today?
I would say a week from today.
Okay. Works for me. Awesome.
Okay.
Because. Okay. What you don't need to get involved in or not involved. You said yourself that you take a lot of ideas and you've got a lot of ideas and you're kind of all over the place. But when you break it down to the smallest possible step you can take, then you don't worry about getting overwhelmed or your brain doesn't get to start flooded with whatever. And then you take that step and then you think, okay, what's the next smallest possible step I can take? And then you go take that. And then you ask yourself, what's the next smallest possible step I can take? And then you don't get overwhelmed because you only have a very, very small step to take next. Because you don't worry about a venue for your summit or workshop or whatever you're going to call it when you haven't even made a contact yet.
See, you know me well enough that I would be thinking that, like, I wonder where we could meet in Texas.
Well, no, I don't. I'm saying, I'm taking your words because you said you have a million different ideas and you're not really implementing. You're kind of doing, it's like you're in a forest and you're surrounded by six trees. Instead of chopping one tree down until it falls, it's like you take a hack at one tree, then you take a hack at another tree, then you hack another tree, and instead of just hacking one tree until it falls, and then you hack the other tree down, and then you chop the other tree down. So, yeah, what's the smallest possible step? If the smallest possible step, if you think in your previous experience, in your previous life as a professor and teacher, if I call tomorrow, it will be completely lost because they're going to have a 4-day weekend or 5-day weekend. And so, okay. So maybe you spend the next week getting your story together of what you're going to tell them when you get them on the phone. Maybe, okay. Maybe.
It's a good maybe.
Okay. So this was fun today.
It was fun. I so appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Well, we will look, get ready, boys and girls, coming to a city near you. A leadership expo with Dr. Kimberly Welsh.
Yes. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. All right. Have a great one. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.